I have read in the Bible that God told of sinners that he let his son die in their place. Paid the price for their sins on the old cross of Calvary. Thank the Lord for his marvelous grace.
This is the Back to Calvary program with Reverend Wayne Guy. Address all mail concerning this program to Reverend Wayne Guy, 1902 South Main Street, Mount Airy, Maryland, 21771. Now, the Back to Calvary program. If you would like a cassette of today's program, send a gift of $3 to help support this program, giving date and call letters of this radio station.
Hello, before I begin the message today, once again, I want to mention a special offer concerning some cassette tapes. Recently, we have just finished preaching two series of messages dealing with the second coming of Jesus Christ. The first series has to do with the rapture, which is the first phase of his second coming. And in this series, we deal thoroughly and in detail with the subject of the rapture. The second series has to do with the revelation, which is the second phase of his second coming. And in this series, we deal with the subject of the revelation. Now, the first series involving the rapture consists of 15 separate messages recorded on 8 cassette tapes, while the second series involving the revelation consists of 13 separate messages recorded on 7 cassette tapes. And at this time, we're offering each of these series separately for a gift of $12 each. Or you can obtain both of these series for a gift of only $20. We're offering both the rapture and the revelation. We're offering each of these series separately for a gift of $12 each, or both of these series together for only $20. And if you want one or both of these series, just write us at the address given at the end of the broadcast, requesting what series that you desire. And the money that you send for these tapes will be used entirely for the purchasing of radio time and the preaching of the Word of God. We'll be expecting your letter soon. Today, we're going to be reading once again from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, that being verses 10 through 17. And here in this passage, the Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Heavenly Father, as we bring this message today, I pray that you'll help me to say every word that needs to be said. And Lord, I pray that you'll do that which needs to be done in the heart and life of every listener. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Today, we want to bring the third part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? But before that we proceed, there are some things that we need to say by way of review to bring us up to the place where we left off on the broadcast last week. Now, in the weeks prior to this, we have already stated that in the various chapters that make up the book of Ephesians, Paul deals with the believer a little bit different. In chapter number 1, we have the believer's wealth. In chapters 2 and 3, we have the believer's work. In chapters 4 and 5, we have the believer's walk. And then in chapter 6, we have the believer's warfare. And when we come to chapter 6, with verses 10 through 20, we find two things mentioned in connection with the believer's warfare. First, we have the encounter in verses 10 through 13. Then second, we have the equipment in verses 14 through 20. Now in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with this word finally that Paul uses here in verse number 10. And this word tells us that Paul right here had reached his closing exhortation. And my friend, in this passage here in chapter number 6, Paul presents a call to arms. And we find that Paul closes this lofty epistle by condescending to a battlefield. And he does this because the believer's life is lived on a battlefield. In the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with the fact that believers in the Word of God are referred to as strangers and as soldiers. And when we put these two terms together, they tell us that the believer is a soldier in a warfare in a foreign country, yea, on enemy territory. That's exactly what the believer is. My friend, the believer is a soldier in God Almighty's army. Most certainly they are. And the policy of non-interference has no place in the believer's life when it comes to the matter of fighting the good fight of faith. The policy of non-interference has no place in the believer's life who is a soldier in God Almighty's army. My friend, the Apostle Paul was an old soldier of the cross. And if you will read 2 Timothy chapter number 4, you will find that Paul spoke of three things in that particular chapter. Number 1, he spoke about the compassion for the fallen. Second, he spoke about the contention for the faith. And then third, he spoke about the conviction for the fight. And Paul here in chapter 4 said, I have fought a good fight. What was Paul saying? Paul was saying, I have fought a good fight as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul had conviction for the fight. And this is one thing that is lacking in the lives of many preachers and professing Christians today. Also in the weeks prior to this, we have already dealt with this word brethren that Paul uses here in verse number 10. And we have stated that this word brethren is associated with the word womb. And my friend, as this word brethren is used in verse number 10, it is having reference to those that have been born again of that incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. In other words, this word brethren in verse number 10 is having reference to those that's been saved by the grace of God, those that are soldiers in God Almighty's army. Now this time, I want us to move on further here in verse number 10 and notice what the Word of God says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now right here, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. What's Paul saying? Paul is saying, my friend, muster strength for the fight. The believer must seek strength from the only source from which they can attain it. And that is the Lord. Right here in verse number 10, Paul says, be strong in the Lord. Now, in the Word of God, there are three stages of spiritual growth. And all three of these are spoken of in 1 John chapter 2, with verses 12 through 14. In that passage of Scripture, John speaks of the little children. In that passage, John speaks of the young men. In that passage, John speaks of the fathers. And this is the three stages of spiritual growth that is found in the pages of the Word of God. Now, my friend, when a person is saved by the grace of God, they are a babe in Christ. But God Almighty expects that believer to grow. He expects that believer to experience spiritual growth. Most certainly he does. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, the Word of God says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend. A person is only young once. But a person can remain immature all the days of their life here upon this earth. Some folks always smell of bread and butter because they never grow up. And my friends, it is sad to see a person like this in the physical realm, and it's sadder still to see one like this in the spiritual realm. Now listen to me. Some people have been saved for 2 years, and they have the spiritual maturity of a 20-year-old. But at the same time, some people have been saved for 20 years, but they have the spiritual maturity of a 2-year-old. And this is exactly why God does not deal with all of His children just alike. My friend, God deals with His children according to their stage in spiritual growth. Listen, parents. You do not deal with your 5-year-old child like you do your 15-year-old. God doesn't either. Most certainly He doesn't. You do not deal with that 5-year-old like you do that 15-year-old because of their age. And God doesn't deal with all of His children just alike because of their stage in spiritual growth. Now, Paul here in verse number 10 says, be strong in the Lord. There are too many spiritual dwarfs and pygmies and invalids. Most certainly there is. My friend, when a person is saved by the grace of God, they are a babe in Christ. They are a lamb, so to speak. God Almighty expects that lamb to get on the front seat of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church and feed on the Word of God and grow up. Most certainly He does. Let me say this right now. If you are attending a local church where the Word of God is not preached, get out of it. Get out of it. If you are attending a local church where they are more interested in feeding you in the cafeteria than they are in the pulpit from the Word of God, get out of it. If you're attending a local church where they're more interested in feeding you soup in the dining hall than they are ham in the pulpit from the Word of God, get out of it. Get out of it. My friend, the house of God is the place where the Word of God is to be preached, where the Word of God is to be read, and where the Word of God is to be taught. The house of God is not a place where people are to meet together and eat hamburgers and hot dogs. Most certainly it isn't. Paul here says in verse number 10, be strong in the Lord. What's Paul saying? He's saying be strong in faith. Be strong in hope. Be strong in wisdom. Be strong in patience. Be strong in grace. And to be strong in these things means to be weak in sin. Most certainly so. Now, here in verse number 10, Paul is speaking of strength. But the one thing that you should realize right here is that Paul is certainly not speaking about physical strength. Paul is speaking about spiritual strength. Spiritual strength. You'll notice in Ephesians chapter 3, in verses 14 through 16, the Word of God says this, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now right here, the Word of God clearly makes it known that it was Paul's desire that God would strengthen these believers in the inner man. And this is speaking of spiritual strength. And this is the same thing Paul is speaking of here in chapter 6 in verse number 10. My friend, if you're saved by the grace of God, you are a soldier in God Almighty's army. And as a soldier, you need strength. Because the circumstances of the battlefield requires it. Now I want us to notice something else here. In verse number 10 at this time, my friend Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now my friend, these words are in the continuous tense. And this tells us that the believer is to be strengthened daily. The believer needs to be strengthened daily. It must be a daily thing. My friend, the Lord does not impart strength wholesale. Most certainly He does not. But the believer's strength needs to be renewed daily. It must be a daily thing. My friend, it's good for the believer to realize their deficiency and God's sufficiency. My friend Paul recognized this. He realized this. And he realized that he was unable, but God was more than able. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and in verse number 10, Paul says, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And you as a believer need to realize your human weakness and pray daily. Not weekly, not monthly, not yearly, but pray daily for spiritual strength so that you can say with the Apostle Paul, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. My friend Paul is speaking here of spiritual strength. And the believer's strength needs to be renewed daily. Most certainly it does. Now I want to emphasize the fact right here while we're dealing with verse number 10 that Paul here is speaking of God's strength and of God's power. Here in verse number 10, Paul says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. Then he goes further and says, and in the power of His might. Whose might? God's might. My friend, the believer is assured of victory by God's power, not their own power. Victory is not dependent upon the believer's strength, but upon God's strength. Upon God's strength. My friend, I might say this right now as well. There is no substitute for God's strength and for God's power. The believer faces enemies more than human. More than human. Therefore, the believer needs supernatural strength. And the only place that they can get supernatural strength is from God Almighty. There is no substitute for the strength and power of God. No, certainly there isn't. My friend, a lot of preachers today have tried all kinds of gimmicks to get people into the house of God. And many of these preachers have found out the hard way that there is no substitute for the strength and power of God. No, certainly there isn't. A lot of preachers today are trying to get people into the house of God with hamburgers and hot dogs and ice cream suppers. But my friend, if you get them into the house of God with hot dogs and hamburgers, you're going to have to keep them there with hot dogs and hamburgers. But if you get them into the house of God by preaching the Word of God and the power of God, thank God you can keep them there by feeding them the Word of God. So we find that there is no substitute for the strength and power of God. So Paul here in verse number 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then he goes on in verse number 11. And in verse number 11, Paul tells us how to be strong in the Lord. Notice what he says here in verse number 11. He says, put on the whole armor of God. That's how a person is strong in the Lord. By putting on the whole armor of God. That's the only way. Now right now, I want you to notice the first two words that Paul uses in verse number 11. In verse number 11, Paul says, put on. Put on. Now many times, you will read the words put on and put off in the pages of the Word of God. And I want you to clearly understand something right here and now. My friend, when it comes to this matter of salvation and the lost person, you will find that the positive is always mentioned first and the negative is always mentioned second. Most certainly it's so. Listen, this is the order that is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Here in this verse, Paul is speaking of the time that these believers at Thessalonica were saved by the grace of God. And here in verse number 9, the Word of God says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols. Now I want you to notice this, my friend. The positive is found in the words, turned to God. The negative is found in the words, from idols. And you'll notice right here that the positive is mentioned first. Then the negative is mentioned second. This is always the order in the Word of God when it comes to this matter of salvation and the lost person. Here in verse number 9, the Word of God says, how ye turn to God from idols. Here the Word of God does not say, how ye turned from idols to God. The Word of God does not say that. And you say, preacher, what's the difference? My friend, the difference is the difference between salvation by grace and salvation by works. And my friend, salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing or minus nothing. Salvation is not by works. The Word of God knows nothing about salvation by works. Salvation is entirely by the grace of God. So when it comes to this matter of salvation in the lost person, the positive is always mentioned first, and then the negative is always mentioned second. But when it comes to this matter of service and the saved person, you will find that the negative is always mentioned first, and the positive is always mentioned second. That's always the order in the Word of God when it comes to this matter of service and the saint of God. Now, in the Word of God, you will find that many times God tells the believer to put off something. And then, immediately following, He will tell the believer to put on something. You see, my friend, God does not tell the believer to put on something and then leave the believer in the cold. No. But God always tells the believer what to put on. And you'll find this occurs many times throughout the pages of the Word of God. Now today, our time has run out. That's as far as we're going with the third part of the message entitled, Will You Be Able to Stand in the Hour of Battle? Listen to the broadcast next week, and we will bring to you the fourth part of this message, if God allows. My friend, if you have been saved by the grace of God, you are a saint of God, and you are a soldier in God Almighty's army. And being a soldier, you need to be strengthened in the inner man. You need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And right now, I'm going to ask every believer that is listening to bow their head and from their heart speak to the captain, which is none other than the Lord Jesus, and allow God to strengthen you in the inner man. And my friend, if you're listening to this broadcast today, and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you're not in the army of the Lord. You're not on Jesus' side, but you're on the devil's side. And you need to be saved by the grace of God. And right now, I'd ask you to bow your head and from your heart, exercise faith in the finished work and in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Call upon God and ask Him to save you. And He will. And you'll know it. Thank you.